Welcome to the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapp, along with my co-host, Tyler. Tyler, obviously we went live after that game against Dallas, but there was a lot of things that that we talked about that weren't about around the game. And I think that we should talk about the game from here on out, because I think we need to turn the page as well, because there's nothing that's going to change about that game. The calls that went against Detroit, you're not going to change them, and you just got to look forward. And hopefully you get the Dallas Cowboys coming in a couple weeks and you could get revenge. But for now, if you got to turn the page, we look forward, not look back. What impressed you the most? Because I got what impressed me the most, but I'm going to let you go first, because there's a lot of things in that game that I liked personally, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And there's some things that I did not like. Well, I'll get to that as well. You can give me yours too, but what's something that you're really impressed about?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, we'll start on the positive. Aiden Hutchinson woke up. That was huge. Greg said our poise, Dallas is the best home team over the last two seasons. I kind of agree, kind of not. Let me jump to something I wasn't impressed with, and that was, you know, our situational play calling. I wasn't very impressed with Ben Johnson's game. I actually think Aaron Glenn called a pretty good game.
Yeah,
he did. You know, I think that we did, our run defense was fantastic, dude.
It's
it
been
was
good all year long, though. So
yeah,
been,
no, I mean, but you know, when you go against when we have a team like Dallas, who's thought of to have a pretty great offensive line historically, I mean, in this year, I mean, they're pretty much statistically always in the top five.
Right.
They have Tony Pollard, who's been running well. They've kind of relied on their run game and their play action. They've done really good with running the ball, and we just totally demolished that. So it was great to see. And like I said, Hutch getting three sacks, especially against Tyron Smith, who hasn't given up a sack to, one other person maybe?
Pretty much, yeah, something like that. But yeah,
so I think he gave up a sack to one other defender, and Hutch got to him three times. Was able to get to the quarterback. It was huge. It was great to see him come to get home. You know, I liked how our defense was playing for the most part. And you know, we'll get into a little bit of that later. You know, it was kind of I kept saying to myself at the TV, like, hey, who the hell's guarding CD Lamb? Oh, hey, CD Lamb again. Hey, man, CD Lamb. Hey, someone guard CD Lamb?
Oh, man.
The guy had about 1,000 catches for about 12,000 yards and, you know, 20 TDs last,
we'll get to
last
that,
week.
Dude.
So,
that's something.
But overall, you know, our defensive scheme I felt like was pretty well. Like I said, I feel like we were running the ball or defending the run really well. And our defensive line, for the most part, looked pretty good. And then offensively, you know, we had moments where we could have really, I think, taken this game into our own hands. But I think Ben Johnson continually shot himself in the foot. Yep. On third down multiple times. We started off 2 for 2 on third down, and then we proceeded to miss the next 8 or 9 third downs.
Yep.
And so it just became really difficult. So that was kind of my takeaway. I mean, to go head to head with a team that, you know, also has had a ton of regular season success, and a team that honestly, what was it last year, beat the living shit out of us.
That was a close game throughout.
And the game was closer than the score said, but I mean, they still, I think, ended up beating us last year by 3 scores. So to lose by 1 point on an insanely botched call, which we've already talked about, against a team that's, you know, had a really, really good, you know, success in the regular season, you know, a lot lately. It was a really good test for us, and it does make me feel confident going into the playoffs. So,
well, I want to hit on something Greg said. There's something that we need to, I want to get to, and something on the negative side. So Greg said CeeDee Lamb ripped us to shreds. That being said, Sutton on ones in the playoffs is looking like a mismatch teams will exploit. And then he said CeeDee Lamb is debatably the best wide receiver in the league this year, easily top five. He's really flourished in the Schottenheimer-McCarthy system. And here's the thing. Cameron Sutton is not a number one cornerback. I think we all can agree to that. Now, if you don't agree with that, there's certain portions I just don't understand. We all got on Jerry Jacobs for being as bad as he has been, right? But when you look at it in this perspective, Cameron Sutton and Jerry Jacobs' numbers are ironically similar. They are ironically similar. When you think about this, Cameron Sutton has four forced incompletions the whole year. For a number one cornerback, that is not good enough.
Right.
To put it in perspective, Brian Branch is like eight, and he's a rookie.
I think we got enamored by how well he played those first 6 weeks.
There was games that he played really good, and there was games that he played in the first like 8 weeks that he played that were really, really bad. And like I think midway through the season, he was still one of the worst corners on his team. Like Jerry Jacobs was playing out of his mind. His completion percentage was way better than Cameron Sutton. And I think Cameron Sutton is getting – like I think teams are really going at him because I believe if I remember correctly that if you go back and you go back, I think, to week five, the completion percentage against Cameron Sutton is like 80%, which if you're completing 80% of the balls, I'm telling you right now as a quarterback, you are going to Cameron Sutton's side – every single time. And you have Vildor, who's came out of nowhere, and Jerry Jacobs, he had a couple bad games, but I think he'll come back and do the secondary.
Our cornerback talent is severely lacking. We definitely need to get after that. I think Brad Holmes and company was really looking forward to getting Emmanuel Mosley on the field.
Yep.
And that didn't work out. And so but you know, guys like Vildor can easily take like the Will Harris role. You know,
how screwed would this team be if they didn't have Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph?
Right.
Now, I know a lot of people are thinking Kirby Joseph. Well, Kirby Joseph is one of your best secondary players out there. I think his completion percentage against is like 54%, which is outstanding.
Yeah, he was amongst the top. I know for like first 8 weeks or 10 weeks, he was like the number one PFF safety for like targeted against in like the pass coverage game. He's a ball hawk.
Him and Brian Branch are heads and heels your best secondary players no matter what. So when I look at this perspective, I look at this as a negative. You know, Greg said this and he's completely right. You know, CeeDee Lamb exploited him. Justin Jefferson exploited him. You know, if you get him going against Cooper Kupp or Christian Watson, is he going to be able to hold serve? Like that, those are some of the things that I look at with Cameron Sutton. And that's one of the negatives that I have right now is that if he doesn't play better, it's not going to be good. Luckily you have Brian Branch. Luckily you have Vildor playing well, but how long is that going to last? I think eventually Jared Jacobs will come back into the rotation, but you just going into the offseason, you're going to have a major thing to do. You need to get a number one corner, and you need to get a number one. You need to get a pass rusher next to Hutch.
Yeah.
Now, if James Houston comes back and he lights the world on fire, cool. Still get another pass rusher because I'm telling you right now, you can't base all your hope on James Houston last year, right? I had people telling me on the page, guy, we have James Houston. We have Romeo Okwara. Romeo Okwara is dead man. Charles Harris does nothing. Josh Pascal, who I had a lot of hope for, hasn't done nothing. So you have to go in the next
Levi season. Levi hasn't done much.
You literally have two players on the defensive line that I would build around. It starts with Liam, who's coming back, which we're going to get to that. And it starts with Hutch, and that's it. The rest are just kind of gadget players. And you need another defensive end, and you need another defensive tackle. Because if there was another defensive tackle playing next to Liam, like a kind of like a space eater who actually like worked hard. Sorry, Bugs. You would be in a better position. So that's what you look forward to the offseason. But I think what Brett Holmes did this offseason, I think he relied too much on guys that he thought were going to be better, like Holmes, like Okwara, like Harris, like, you know, the Julian Okwaras. Like he thought they were going to be better and they just haven't.
Yeah. And so here's kind of an interesting thought too. And something I have for you, we have an outstanding amount of safety talent. Like we have Ifeatu Melifonwu, we have CJ Gardner-Johnson, we have who will be getting back. We will have, we're going to have Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph. Like we have like four or five. Hey, Tina, how's it going? Nice to see you on the page. We have all these guys that we have like five very serviceable and very talented safeties. Now my question to you is, you know, can we put some of these guys in the cornerback position if we make a deep playoff run to try to salvage the secondary? Could we do something where we're putting Iffy and Brian Branch and CJ on some of these receivers, and will that give us a real fighting chance? Because, I mean, if you're talking about if we have four or five really great safeties and you can technically only play two at a time, you might want to start thinking about subbing in some of those safeties to guard up some of these receivers. I mean, imagine having Iffy, CJ, Kirby, Branch, all on the field at the same time.
See, what okay. A lot of people are talking about, especially with this Aaron Glenn getting devoted the number one coordinator today, which is kind of shocking, but it was basically like him and Dave Phipp. So Dave Phipp was number four, Aaron Glenn and for special teams, and Aaron Glenn was number one for defensive coordinators that players would want to play for. And when I listened to Aaron Glenn's press conference and I heard him say that he is going to get all these guys on the field, what Tyler just brought up is totally, totally going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, Mel Fanu has
this dude has turned like Pro Bowler overnight. I don't know what the hell happened.
Well, he's played corner before. So he came in as a cornerback.
Yep, Chauncey
Gardner-Johnson, he's played cornerback before. So when he said that they were getting all these guys on the field at one time, I was thinking like, okay, now Aaron Glenn's got some horses that he could work with. Because one of the things I've been saying for the last couple weeks, and, you know, Tyler has been against me. There's been people on my Facebook that have been against me saying, what are you making excuses for Aaron Glenn? Which I'm not making excuses for Aaron Glenn. But I can tell you this right now, that this team is not as talented as we perceive it to be. And I think that Aaron Glenn is working with kind of like a mixed bag. And he's making nothing out of something. And I look at Ben Johnson on the other side, and everyone's giving him his kudos. But honestly, if you were given Gibbs, Montgomery, who are top 10 in yards after contact, you're given a top 10 quarterback in Jared Goff.
Top three line,
you know, a good stable wide receiver is like you would expect Ben Johnson to get the most out of those guys, to be honest. Like, it's not really hard. And maybe a potential rookie of the year in you know, Sam LaPorta or Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, they're going to get votes for it.
His play calling has really been disappointing in critical moments. And his the lack of, like, adjustments have been very concerning. Like, how many times, like, I was making a joke in our Detroit Lions messenger chat we've got all together. I kept calling him Jim Bob Johnson. It's like a Jim Bob Cooter reincarnated, bro. It's like, hey, you know, it's third and whatever. Let's just jam it up the gut on some trap play or some dive play. It's like, dude, we literally ran it up the gut. We ran a damn delay last week on a third and two. And then we're trying to get cute on third down blast runs up the middle seven or eight times in a row. And they got shut down every time. It's like, can you be a little bit more predictable? Holy shit.
Well, here's the thing about Ben Johnson. I've been saying it, Tyler, you've heard me say this on the podcast a bunch of times, but he's became predictable. And one of the things I haven't liked is, number one, the red zone efficiency is not where it should be, especially with the talent level on this team. And I think that, like, okay, if you're going to get hard, if you're going to go hard at a guy like Aaron Glenn, right, you better do the same for Ben Johnson, because Ben Johnson has a Ferrari and Aaron Glenn has a Taurus. Two different things. One guy has a Ferrari. One guy has a Taurus. I mean, if you expect the Taurus to be the Ferrari, be my guest, but I've never heard that happen. And that Taurus better be, like, fast as shit with, like, supercharger and shit. But the fact of the matter is this. Ben Johnson's offense has to be better. And if it's not better and you go into the postseason and you do the same stuff that you've been doing in the regular season, I'm going to lose my shit. And I've told people before, if he took a job somewhere, it wouldn't be the worst case scenario, because I've told people for forever, this is Dan Campbell's offense. He's just calling it. You know, you always have an offensive coordinator that calls the plays.
Well, and you kind of wonder how much, like, that kind of shit is, like, getting under Dan's skin as well.
I mean, there's things. I mean, they panned Dan Campbell once in that game after that delay that you were talking about, and the look on his face is like, dude, what the hell was that for? Like, you know, like, what are we doing? And then when he answered the question, remember they ran that stupid delay. What was it against Chicago, where it was like fourth and one, and they ran that delay too.
Yeah, they've done it a couple times this year.
Well, I remember Dan Campbell was on the radio, and he's like, I thought it was a good call, okay? And you could tell that he's just pissed about it. He doesn't want to talk about it. But that's a fact of the matter. Like, Ben Johnson's play calling has not been where it should be. And like I said before, he has a Ferrari. Aaron Glenn has a Taurus. And I expect more from Ben Johnson because the offense is good.
There was one positive thing that I saw that I've been waiting to happen, and that is that Jared Goff uncorked a freaking missile down to J-Mo. And I honestly, Troy Aikman was saying it, and I was like, kind of, it's one of the only things I agreed with him saying all damn night because I can't stand listening to that guy.
I love Troy Aikman. I'm not being totally honest. I think he's great.
Weirdo. Every time I watch Troy Aikman and Joe Buck on the Cowboys game, it's like, how hard can we suck off the Cowboys? It's like, geez, dude, chill out. But he said something about, like, this might be the best deep ball I've ever seen Jared Goff throw in his entire career. And if you watch it, dude, getting sacked, hitting J-Mo pretty much in stride. I mean, maybe, you know, could lead him a little bit more.
You're never gonna hit J-Mo in stride.
But just absolutely uncorking one, like 60 yards, like that was like, dude, hell yeah! I was jumping up and down, like in my basement, in my game room, just going berserk, dude. Because that's what I've been waiting to see, like just rip one to J-Mo. And by the way, for all you J-Mo losers, haters out there, I'm pretty sure this dude hasn't recorded a drop now in like his fifth or sixth straight week. So,
well, it's exactly what. I mean, if you talk to some people that are on my Facebook pages, they'll say I'm a J-Mo hater. But as Tyler can tell you, I've been totally on this kid's side for the whole thing. And I told you before, like, there's no excuses for the kid. He's got to get better. That's the way it goes. You know, it's not – this isn't like – this. I hate this whole thing about you can't talk about a player and the way that they're progressing. Because, like, J-Mo needs to progress. Like, if J-Mo gets good – and J-Mo makes those plays like he made in the Dallas game. This offense is unstoppable because Jahmyr Gibbs has played great. And Dave Montgomery pounding that ball and Sam Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like it opens up so many like different kind of coverages that they can't run on you because they're afraid of J-Mo getting the deep ball.
Well, and plus with them saying they trust J-Mo now, like Goff trusts him now and stuff, like that's a big deal because when you can see his confidence starting to build. Yeah. You can see Goff's confidence starting to build in J-Mo, and you can see J-Mo's confidence starting to build in himself. Next year, like, you need to start seeing a game plan and a heavy dose of J-Mo in a lot of different situations. Like, I get it this year because you're kind of like, you know, this is like his – kind of like his rookie year. Right. And, like, you know, receivers, it takes a while sometimes. But, like, you know, just looking at the different, like, the ramping up of the targets and ramping up of, like, the play calling for him the last 3 or 4 weeks, it is a positive in the right direction. Because I do think that, like, you know, this kid has, you know, talent to be something special. I mean, even if you were to say, like, you know, he's got, like, a DeSean Jackson ceiling. I mean, many people forget that DeSean Jackson has like 13 or 14,000 career yards, which when I saw that, I was shocked. I didn't realize he had so many. But, you know, if you get to even a position where you say, you know, this guy can, you know, burn you for, you know, 1,000, 1,100 yards in a season. I mean, I know everybody, there's a lot of, you know, love to go around. You have a pretty prolific offense. You got to give Laporta his touches. You got to get Gibbs his touches, Montgomery his touches, St. Brown, obviously. But if you can get to a point where you can start to involve J-Mo a healthy amount in this offense and feed him targets and get the ball in his hands with that kind of speed, it's just, like I said, like we've always talked about, it's lightning in a bottle and it's home run potential every time.
I just think that if J-Mo, you know, J-Mo has gotten better.
I think it's little things this next season that he's going to have to work on, that route running, that, you know, the feel for the field. He'll get better.
The one thing I can say about J-Mo, and I've been seeing this a lot lately, and I'm very happy that he's been doing it, is his routes are a lot better. Yeah. And I feel like we're, you know, Jared Goff is the type of quarterback, and there's a lot of quarterbacks like Jared Goff. It isn't just Jared Goff. There's a lot of quarterbacks in the league where they expect you to be at a certain spot at a certain time, and if you're not there, they're kind of like, okay, well.
Very timing-based.
It's timing. And there's a lot of quarterbacks that are like that. Like, obviously, your Mahomes, your Allen, your Herbert, Rodgers, they're not going to be that same way. You know, they're kind of like, they'll make nothing out of something, and that's what they do. But with guys like Jared Goff or Dak Prescott or, you know, Brock Purdy, you get these guys and you kind of, it's got to be a timing-based thing. And, you know, we've seen it with Brock Purdy when he was missing Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel. He kind of struggled. And you've seen it with, you know, Dak Prescott. Like, Dak Prescott struggles sometimes when he's getting pressured and all that stuff. So that's the way it goes in this league. The quarterbacks in this league are not that great. Like, there's not many great quarterbacks in this league. I mean, if you think about it, like, Derek Carr starting, Baker, you can look at that whole NFC South and go, what the hell is that? You know, that
there's about 15 franchise guys right now, and I kind of use that term loosely because there's, you know, I think the quarterback position now is more watered down than it's ever been, and hopefully, you know,
I don't think it's going to get much better, to be honest. If we're going to be,
yeah, I mean, you know, defensive guys evolve, game plans evolve. I mean, you know, you get bigger, faster, stronger defensive ends. You get bigger, faster, stronger cornerbacks, safeties, linebackers.
I just think the quarterbacks are getting the worst from college football. Now, I think this draft coming up is going to be a great draft for quarterbacks, and if you need a quarterback, this is the draft to do it. But, like, overall, the quarterbacks coming in the league are not that great, and they've struggled. I mean, C.J. Stroud has been great, but, like, you look at a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who is touted as, like, a generational prospect, hasn't been that great.
The way I see it this way, too, it's kind of a generational thing, too. Like, look, Kyler Murray, you know, he's super short, but what's up, Roy? How's it going, man? But, like, Kyler Murray, right, super short, super athletic. Everyone, hey, this guy's going to be great. But you know what? This game's very cerebral, and if you're going to spend 80% of your time playing Call of Duty or Fortnite or just blowing off, you know, film or blowing off practice, like, over time, like, you're going to see that, like, lack of passion for the game that just translates into, like, more poor play. Like, guys like Brady and Manning and Rodgers and Favre, like, these all-time greats, they were obsessed with the game. They were obsessed with the process. They were obsessed with film. They were obsessed with just completely obsessed with the process of the game. Like, it is such a cerebral position. Like, you've got to be so smart when you're talking about quarterbacks, especially going against guys that are, you know, your receivers are faster, but you're also going against corners that are running 4.3s. Yep. And you got safeties that are 6.4. And you got linebackers that are these, like Nolan Smith, that is some sort of, like, 6.5 hybrid monster who ran a 4, like, 3.2. You know, just these absolute freaks of nature. And so, you know, you just got to see, hopefully, with these younger quarterbacks coming in, that there is still some love and passion for the process and for the cerebral side of the quarterback position, that hopefully some of these younger guys can come in and do some of the heavy lifting. Like, Kenny Pickett was a first rounder, and that might be, sorry, Steelers fans, that might be the worst starting quarterback I've ever seen in my life. like that is supposed to be a starter. You know, I'm not talking about your spot starters, you know, your Sean Hills and your, you know, shit like that. You know, like, first round, supposed to be the guy. Like,
I could have told you this. I mean, that was
this dude is just buns, dude. And it's like, you know, you and it was like such a desperate draft class for quarterbacks. You know, it was just weird. So
that was,
you know,
hopefully the
position starts to thicken up.
That was a draft class that people wanted Malik Willis. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. You know, there were some people at Woodward Sports talking about, let's get Malik Willis.
At two.
And then, you know, you guys on 97 The Ticket, Doug Harsh, talk about, let's get Malik Willis at two. I'm like, dude, what world are we living in? It's like,
I'm just saying, I'm so happy the Jags passed on Hutch, dude. That was the perfect fit for us. You know, yes, he's got room to develop. I really want to see Hutch, like, gain some technique. Like, it seems like he just, like, either does a spin like he's a third grader, right, or he wants to try to bull rush. You know, let him work, you know, see if he can work with J.J. Watt or something in the offseason, get some hand moves, get some swim moves.
He will get better. I guarantee you that.
Oh, I know. I mean, you know, and another guy's, you know, he's just obsessed with the process and obsessed with the game.
I think, well, you could say this, Tyler. This is what you can say. If you are the Giants and the Lions, you are happy that Trayvon Walker went number one.
Yeah,
because I think Kayvon Thibodeau has become a hell of a player. He's having a great year with the New York Giants, and they're not a good team. And Hutch has been a great player too. And I think if Hutch had a guy like Dexter Lawrence on his team, he'd be much more suited to get more sacks and everything. Problem is that you just don't have any help. And with Lee McNeil coming back, that's going to be great.
Well, and I think, too, this next draft is, like we've talked about before, is going to be another trench draft.
Yeah.
Like, I know you watched the Dallas game. Here's another thing to tie us into talking about this game. Our guards are ass.
Well, okay. I don't think they're ass. I think that there's games where they play absolutely like.
Let me just say this. We will be fine with the guys we got now, but we need to draft. We need to draft more. Like, we absolutely need to draft some guys for the interior line. Because outside of, you know, unless Jonah Jackson's on, which he was getting absolutely abused. I mean, it's Micah Parsons he's going against. I get it. But Graham Glasgow's not getting any younger. Mm-hmm. And some of these backup guards are, like, horrid. Like, I just see it being a trench draft. Defensive linemen, offensive linemen. I wouldn't be surprised if we drafted five linemen next year. And I'm talking about defensive and offensive.
I think you're going to go into the draft. And
corner, DT, D-end, and linemen.
I think free agency is going to be a plus. Like, you're going to have to go into free agency and get a defensive end or a guard because that's where you can get the most – you can get the most you can get the most bang for your buck, right?
Yeah.
And then in the draft, you kind of supplement the roster with those guys, right, in the draft. So, like, if you could draft a defensive tackle or you draft – there's not many good defensive tackles coming in the draft, though.
But hey, we're pretty thankful we were pretty high on Tyree Wilson. He's looking like a shitter, huh?
We totally screwed that up, man.
But, you know, I think that
if
a guy like Jared Verse might be available at the end of this first round, man, we need somebody on the other side.
Well, I don't think he's going to be available. That Verse is a hell of a player, but I think, you know, Tyree Wilson, that whole thing, if we look at that top 10, you know, we look at the top 10 and we go, okay, who were the really great players in that top 10? You know, I know people look at Jalen Carter. They say Jalen Carter has been great. Well, if you've been talking to Eagles fans or people that cover the Eagles, they've been saying that Jalen Carter has been getting pushed around. He's getting blown up every play. Tyree Wilson hasn't been good. So you could literally say without a doubt, Detroit got one of the best players in their first round. They might have got two of them. I think Jack Campbell is turning the corner. But Jahmyr Gibbs has been absolutely phenomenal. If it wasn't for C.J. Stroud, Jahmyr Gibbs might be a Rookie of the Year candidate.
Yeah. Well, and plus, you look at what we got, too. We also were able to trade that pick and go back and also get Sam Laporta. We were also able to
package Brian Branch.
And trade and get that other pick for Brian Branch.
And if you didn't have Brian Branch, this season would look totally different. I guarantee you. I mean, Brian Branch has been one of your best players, bar none. And Sam Laporta has been one of the best tight ends in the NFL. So,
yeah,
total win for the Lions draft. I think everyone, you know, when we were talking about getting Tyree Wilson or Devin Witherspoon there are so many guys, Jalen Carter we were talking about. I think we got the best guys in totality because if you look through the draft, I mean, Sorsdahl might be a guy that you're not keen on. Hopefully, Broderick Martin turns a corner.
But you know what? I mean, that's a fifth-round pick.
Right. But what I'm saying, though, overall, like, the Lions got a hell of a good players, and they got, like, starters.
Broderick Martin was a head-scratcher for me on draft night, and he will still be to this day. And he probably will be – that probably is one of Brad Holmes' worst picks. But, you know, you can't hit them all year.
Levi Anzarike is one of his worst picks.
Broderick Martin hasn't even played.
He's played a little bit. I mean, he's played more than Levi Anzarike did in his rookie year. Well, we're just being honest. Okay, let's turn the page. Let's go to what I really want to get to. We have Aleem McNeil coming back. We have C.J. Gardner-Johnson coming back. We assume in a week, maybe playoff week, James Houston comes back. I'm going to ask you this, Tyler. What player are you the most excited to see? Because I have mine. I'm pretty sure you have yours. I know the people have theirs in the comment section. And if you're on the podcast, you can comment on our podcast. We'll put up a post tomorrow. But what player are you most excited about coming back?
I mean, I hate to try to split it up. I mean, it's really two main
guys.
You
got to pick one.
I mean,
see, there's people going James.
I'm probably going to go with Aleem McNeil. My other, and I'll let you go yours, but it was a toss up between Aleem McNeil and CJ. And so, you know, Aleem McNeil, I will go with, though, just because of like, he has had really, really good year on the inside. And we need that interior pass rush. Yeah. We need a guy that can, like, we look like a different defensive line when he's on, you know, he's on the field. And, you know, he's just, I don't know, he's really, you know, turned the corner this year and turned the page. And I think it will help us generate more pressure and, you know, get home a little bit more. You know, we were leading with Hutchinson and McNeil in the lineup, you know, for most of the season. We were leading the league in pressures. I know a lot of people say, oh, pressures don't equal sacks. You know, pressures are a meaningless stat. Pressures are meaningless stat. Well, when you're getting, when you just have to refine and fine tune your methods to be able to get home, and you're continually making it hard for the quarterback to get, you know, the ball out comfortably, mistakes will be made. You know, you're not even hoping for a touchdown, right? If you can get 15 pressures and one of those or two of those, even say one, results in a mistake, like a turnover or a fumble, you know, an interception or a fumble, it is worth it.
Yeah, it's a win.
You know, it is worth it.
Well, I always tell people always talk about pressures don't mean anything or whatever the case may be. I would tell you to talk to a quarterback and tell him, do pressures mean anything? Because pressures totally mean everything. There's not a quarterback in the world that's like, yeah, I bring all the pressure you want. Like, no, you got to get rid of the ball. Sometimes you're getting rid of the ball on a different angle. You're moving around the pocket. Like, it's just the way it goes. But you went with Lee McNeil. He's one of the guys I would go with. But the guy I'm going to go with is really clear. It's C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Absolutely. And my second pick, and I assume Aleem McNeil was your second pick.
Well, we'll split it down the middle, Tyler. I'll go C.J., you go Aleem. We're going to win either way. I like James Houston too, but I just feel going into the playoffs, you need a guy who is such a – he's a bastard to play against. Like,
yeah.
I always tell people, like, do the Pistons win the championship with the Bad Boys without Bill Laimbeer and Dennis Rodman? Absolutely not.
Right.
Do the Pistons in 2004 win a championship without Ben Wallace and Rasheed Wallace?
Right.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. You need somebody to be the heart and soul and muscle.
Do the Red Wings win all those cups without Darren McCarty? Hell no.
Right.
Because you need a guy that's going to be on that team.
Just a goon.
Who's going to get in these people's faces. You know, one of the things I heard from one of my guys that's a Cowboys fan, he's like, I'm so lucky C.J. Gardner-Johnson wasn't playing in this game. I go, why? And he goes, whenever CD Lamb went up against CJ Gardner-Johnson, CJ Gardner-Johnson threw him so much off his game and talked so much trash to him that CD Lamb started to go off his game. And you don't know how much that means to a player when you're getting thrown off your game. I mean, look what happens with DK Metcalf. He's a hell of a football player, but teams literally try to throw him off his game because they know he's a lunatic. So,
well, dude, it's like you, you know, when you get some shit talk to you, man, and you're like not, you know, you make a mistake and you're kind of overthinking it, you know, that gets in your head a little bit. And you know, and CJ is also a good player too. So it's like he's not just a goon. He also can like go out there and, you know, pick the ball off and, force a fumble.
And Ken brings up a good point. This is on the Facebook page, Journalizer's podcast. He goes, do the 84 Tigers win without Gibson? And we know that Kirk Gibson was a hell of a freaking baseball player, but he was also a hard ass, a red ass. Like, you need those guys. I don't care what you're talking about. Championship teams need a guy like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and you hope that maybe, like, Hutch develops some of it. You hope that maybe Jack Campbell.
I think he's going to rub off, and I think CJ is a really important re-sign that we need to look at for next year, too.
I think when you have a guy like C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I think his the way that he kind of plays with himself, you know, plays the way that he plays and the way that he like showcases himself, right? I think it rubs off on the whole team. I think every player on that team is going to look at that and go, I could take something from him. You know, I could start talking some trash. I could start getting on some, you know what I'm saying? And people don't think talking trash means anything, but talking trash, like when you're talking about, you know, football, you get a guy off his game, it's over.
Yeah, and for those of you wondering, I keep looking down here. I have a splint on my finger. I freaking sliced my finger open. It's the middle finger. Hey, this is for the Cowboys. Hey. I agree wholeheartedly, and I think, like you said, I think he's a really important piece to this team moving forward. And you hope that that energy and that drive rubs off. And like he loves Detroit. He is Detroit. He's like one of those guys where it's like he's like Pat Beverly, and I think we brought this up the other week. You hate playing against him, but you love it when he's on your team.
Right.
And not to mention, I think he's just turned 26 this year.
Player. He's a very young player.
Yeah, I mean, 25, and I think he turned 26 already this year. But regardless, you know, younger guy, still has plenty in the tank. And a guy that's, you know, making $8 or $9 million, I mean, he may be in line for a raise. But again, he got injured, so we might be able to get him at a discount again. And a guy that's, like, actively fighting to get back to play for you. Like, he's like, this dude tore his pec. And I've heard from numerous outlets from multiple different sources that this dude is like fighting, like not in a bad way, but basically like fighting with medical staff. That's like, no, I need to get back out there. I need to play. Like, you need to clear me. I'm ready now. Like, this dude was ready to get back on the field 3 weeks ago. And that's, you know, and like to see that kind of energy.
That's what you want. I mean, he's a guy that's made his name and he's done a damn good job. And I mean, I think that CJ Gardner-Johnson helped this team back is the guy that's going to help this team out. And I think that, you know, getting Aleem McNeil back is huge. You went with Aleem McNeil. I went with CJ Gardner-Johnson. You can't go wrong with either one of them, to be honest. Yeah. And if someone wants to say James Houston, okay, you know, James Houston could be huge. But I look at those two players and I go, man, those are huge for the stretch run. And if there's ever a time in the season when you want to get guys back, it's right now. And I'm happy for this team because that, you know, getting a guy like back like CJ Gardner-Johnson right as a playoffs comeback, like that's great timing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I said, the emergence of guys like Iffy and the emergence of guys, you know, like Vildor, like it does open up our versatility. Like, can you imagine like having Iffy? Like we were talking about earlier, having Iffy, CJ, Branch, and Kirby out on the field all at one time, where the hell are they going to be comfortable throwing to?
Well, if you got all those guys on the field, I mean, Kirby Joseph's been great, right? Brian Branch has been great.
I saw that comment about Tracy Walker. I'm about over that dude.
Well, I think Tracy Walker could be useful. I mean, he's a good
– He can. It's just so many times that he's just shown that he is just so, like – he's a good dude. I like Tracy. He is a likable guy. He's a hard worker. He's a damn hard hitter. And there were certain times where he flashed a lot of greatness. I just don't think he is consistent enough to be, like, relied on long-term.
Right, but I look at CJ Gardner-Johnson. I think he could help this defense out even more. I think Brian Branch, I think Kirby, if he's came out of nowhere. So he's doing a damn good job.
Oh, that's a bonus. So when you get a guy that's, like, literally was a bubble or almost a roster cut, and somehow, like, barely made the team, and then 10 weeks into the season turns into, like, a fucking all-pro safety. Sorry, my language. But, like, basically, dude turns into an all-pro. I mean, the dude in, like, back-to-back-to-back weeks had, like, two interceptions, like, three sacks, a strip fumble, like, tackles for loss. Like, this dude has just been going absolutely nuts.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about – here's the thing about Iffy Malafano. I mean, he's came out of nowhere. He's been key to this team. I mean, these interceptions that he's making is they're great for the team. And I look at it like this: you can never have enough good players in the back end. You just can't. And if you add a number one corner, or you add a second corner, you know, like where Emmanuel Mosley is going to be, where should have been, you're going to be in a great spot.
They always tell you you can never have enough good corners. I mean, you know, those guys get hurt and they rotate in and out so much with certain formations and different things with their
Darcy brings up a good point. Tracy has one more year on his deal, so he's going to be around. And if he's on special teams, that's going to be great. I think it'll be great. But his time as a starter might be past. So let's get to the next one. What I wanted to talk about, Tyler, this is we're looking to Minnesota. Obviously, this is a game that you're looking at and you're going, okay, Minnesota wants this season over with without a pulse. You look at Detroit, they're coming off of a loss that they shouldn't have lost. You know what I'm saying? And then so you look at that and you go, what are you looking to see from that game versus Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, oh, I went away, didn't I? What I'm looking for, I mean, it's kind of like a look, stay sharp, stay, do what you got to do, but like, you know, try to, I want to see everybody escape there healthy. Don't try to be a hero in a meaningless, you know, regular season game, but also take have pride in what you do. Like, you know, we want to go out there and we want to finish the season strong. We want to get a win. You know, you don't want to necessarily go into the playoffs with a loss, but don't do it at the expense of, you know, losing our some of our key or like star players. Like, we're automatically right now a 3 seed and we can't go, I don't think we can go above or below. I no, think we're locked in.
So I was going to make the graphic, but I totally forgot. But the way it would work is Dallas has to lose to Washington. Philadelphia has to lose to the Giants. And then if they lose, they both lose and you win, you get the 2 seed. Now, it's very unlikely because Washington is dog crap and the Giants are dog crap. So, I mean, you're basically wishing upon a star. But here's the thing. Stranger things have happened. And sadly, the Lions play at 1 o'clock and those teams play at 4 o'clock. So there's not going to be no, you know, you're not going to know until you know, you know. Yeah. So their best bet is to kind of, like, get fine-tuned for the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Get guys like CJ Gardner-Johnson in the game and start doing things that you don't. If I'm Aaron Glenn, this is going to be like a trial period. Like, what can I do with these guys like Gardner-Johnson, Kirby, Branch, Iffy? Like, can I have them all out there at the same time? Oh, can I, like you said earlier, can I put one guy at corner? Can I do this? These things. Exactly. This is a perfect game.
Experimental week. It's an experimental week.
Right. You got
And this is the week that you can get Ben Johnson's head out of his ass too by running some, you know, plays here and there.
Tyler, what? I don't understand why you're going there. I told you 1,000 times. Like, Ben Johnson has to get better. Like, this guy has not been good all year.
Yeah. I've been you know, if we can open up the playbook offensively and defensively, like I said this last week, it's kind of like a you almost want to treat it as, I mean, you like I said, you want to win, but you're kind of treating it as like a full go time, like live practice, you know.
I mean, coach,
Darcy's making a good point too.
Darcy makes a great point. Darcy makes a great point. Don't show your cards. I mean, he's a coach, he coached before, and he's saying don't show your cards. I think he's right on that. All I'm saying is if you can figure out some things that you're trying to figure out, you know, getting CJ Gardner Johnson back and trying to acclimate him with the defense,
yeah,
you know, you're trying to get all of them out there at the same time. That's what he said he was going to do. So I would like to see what he would do just in a base formation. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think
you need anything over the top for Nick Mullins. So right. I don't think Aaron Glenn's.
Isn't Jaren Hall starting?
No, it's going to be Nick Mullins.
Is it going to be? They're giving it back to Nick Mullins.
Yeah.
What you can expect to see too is the last game of the season on every. And this is just kind of something silly I always look out for the last week is a lot of guys will try to get season incentives towards their contract. So you're going to see maybe a guy gets force fed a few times, try to get, you know, his catches so he can, you know, make an extra.
That's good for Detroit because Gibbs,
you know, 750,000.
Montgomery is 25 yards from 1,000. And Gibbs is 75 yards from 1,000. So. Ken Fisher says Ben, I do believe has been keeping his rabbits in a hat until the playoffs. That'd be nice, but hopefully his red zone efficiency is better, and hopefully that comes out of his hat. Darcy says I bet if he plays corner, which I would be down with that. I mean, he came in as a corner, so why not play corner? And then Sean says, don't you think Ben has held back some plays for the postseason though? I do not think he has seen his whole cards yet. Yeah, I don't think we've seen any of these guys full bag of tricks kind of thing. I think they know what they're trying to do, and I think that they're going to kind of keep it under wraps, you know.
Yeah.
But if the red zone alone, it needs to be better in the playoffs. I think that Ben Johnson knows that. I think that Dan Campbell knows that. That's where I really have a problem with Ben Johnson is the red zone efficiency. It has to be a lot better. You have to get points in the playoffs. So I look at that, and you have to make the most of your points in the playoffs. So,
yeah, man. Like I said, stay oiled, stay moving, stay in shape, stay, you know, stay doing the right things, but, you know, try not to develop any bad habits, but, you know, get out of there clean, get out of there healthy, get out of there alive. Because playoff time, we're going to be – it's going to be full go, man. We're hosting a playoff game for the first time in 30 freaking years. So it's time to bring the energy.
Here is a question for you two. How would you stop – I think he's saying Ben's offense. Not sure. I think it was a kind of a typo. But where do you want to go with it? How would you stop Ben Johnson's offense? Oh. Tyler's dropped out. Tyler's back, I think.
For a second.
Oh, there he says, how would you stop the Lions offense? Curious what your answers would be. Now here's the thing. It's hard. I'll go first, Tyler.
Okay. That was,
but whatever. I almost cut you off, but we'll get
No, you're good. Go ahead.
What Ken is saying, he's bringing up his question again. He says, how would you stop the Lions offense? Curious what your answers would be. Now Darcy says ask John Harbaugh, which it would be nice, Darcy, if you had Roquan Smith in the middle with Patrick Queen and Kyle Hamilton and Marlon Humphrey as your, you know, defensive players. That'd be really, really nice. But if you're a team that, like, let's say you're if you're the Green Bay Packers, how are you, let's look at the wild card teams, okay? If it's the Rams or the Packers, how are you going to stop this offense? And I look at the Packers and I go, well, they're not good at stopping the run. So right there off the top, they're not in a good position to stop this Lions offense. And then I look at the Rams, and I look at their leaky back end, and I look at one of the things that the LA Rams have been doing that has yet to be exploited, because I think they played some crappy quarterbacks. Like Derek Carr could not exploit this at all, and I'm pretty sure Jared Goff would exploit this, but they suck at covering short routes. And that's right. one of the things that Jared Goff eats up no matter what. So I think if I'm Jared Goff, that's a defense that can be exploited. I think if you're going to stop this Lions offense, you've got to stop the run. If you stop the run, that's where you can get yourself into a good position. And we've seen teams cannot stop the run. Now, Dallas did a pretty damn good job, but the Lions still got 125, which is well below their average. So they did a pretty damn good job, but most of the time when the Lions are getting, you know, when they don't run the ball as good like they did, Saturday, they have trouble winning. So if you're going to stop Detroit, stop the run and you're going to be gold.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, running a lot of like zone heavy schemes with like throwing in some blitzes, I think that makes Jared Goff a little uncomfortable. Like if you're running man, I think Jared Goff is like really, really, really good against man coverage. I think he has something like 17 touchdowns to like one pick versus man coverage. He got picked off twice against the Cowboys. Let's be honest here. Those were some really damn good plays by the Dallas defense. And I think that if you're trying to find a way to exploit and beat those short routes, it's doing exactly what they did, and that is rifling to where you think the ball is going to be and just playing full speed, full go, and hoping you can get there before the receiver has a chance to touch
it. See, that's such a risky thing to do, though, because
– it is, but, man, Dallas makes it look good, man. Those dudes are aggressive.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. What you just said about Dallas jumping the routes, that was actually a very, very – those were two great routes that were jumped. I think Jordan Lewis had one. That was
one a really was a bad throw. One was a bad throw.
I think the second pick was a little bit. The first pick I thought was a great play, but the second pick, I think he could have threw it a little bit harder to the sidelines, and he would have got him. I think if I'm Jared Goff, that's one of the things I'm going to have to look at
But think about it. They weren't playing soft off of him. They weren't allowing them to catch it and run. I mean, those guys are like they're attacking the line of scrimmage. And they're attacking, and Dallas is a very their defense is a very fast, downhill, aggressive defense, and that can burn you. I mean, it definitely, absolutely can.
Well, but I think
you got to play really, really aggressive against the Lions' offense if you want a chance. Otherwise, I think we're going to be pretty all right. Because if you allow Jared Goff to dink and dunk and tear you up through the middle, that dude is a technician.
If you get Dallas again, I can tell you right now, if Ben Johnson's smart and he's anywhere head coach material, I would do so many split routes. So I would, you know, like a guy goes out there and it's a double move and let's get him going. Like, let's get, you know, have him go to the inside and then you come back outside and you bounce outside. Like, that's what has to happen. And when the Lions are balanced, they're really good. And I think that Dallas can be exploited. I mean, obviously they played a really weak schedule. I think that everyone can agree with that. Like, that's the schedule the Dallas Cowboys have had. I think they've played a lot of bad teams. And when the Detroit Lions went in there and held them to 21 points, which is well below their average at home, which was 40, it told you everything you needed to know about that team. Like, they're not that great. They're really not that great. So, I mean, and it tells you that the Lions can stop the Dallas Cowboys. And I think with you getting Ali McNeil back and C.J. Gardner-Johnson back and James Houston back, I think that could really work out for the well of everyone, you know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think you're right. And, I don't know. It depends on – I mean, there's so many factors. Players turn into different players and teams turn into different teams once playoff hits. You know, I am confident that we, you know, are able to win a playoff game, maybe two, depending on who we get matched up with. I'm not very confident in some of these teams like Philadelphia. I'm not super duper confident with teams like Dallas that they're like some scary juggernaut. Like, the only team I'm seriously concerned about is the 49ers. So, you know, if we get the right matchups, you know, say we play the Packers or the Rams, and then all of a sudden we come back around and we get, you know, the Buccaneers. Well, the Bucs aren't going to win, but, you know,
Let's take it this way. We play the Rams. We beat them. We go play the Cowboys. I feel confident about that.
Absolutely. Man. You know, and then you're looking at an AFC or an NFC championship with the 49ers and the Lions, and now you have a chance to be worried. And now you have a chance to be, but you know what? Any given Sunday, man, it's playoff football. Anything can happen. I've also seen the Niners drop three straight in the season too.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's I don't think there's a team in the NFC I fear. I mean, I know that people look at the 49ers, but they're built exactly like us. They like to run the ball. They have a quarterback that can just get it going. Have Debo go out, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. They have a really good defense, but you know their main calling card is their pass rush. And I look at this team and I look at the 49ers and I go, okay, they can be beat too. I mean, there's not really a team in the NFL this year I'm going, okay, that's a team you can't beat. I mean, Baltimore is pretty close, but I got to see Lamar in the playoffs. Like, I think that's a big calling card for Lamar is what does he do in the playoffs? And for Jared Goff, that's what it's going to be. So we're going to go into our next topic. It's their final topic, then we'll have our final verdict, Tyler. But when you look into going into the playoffs, what is something that you're confident in? What is something that you are worried about?
Yeah, so I'll kick it off. Something I'm confident in. I am confident in our rushing attack and our play action game. Because since it's not fair to give two answers, I'm very confident in our play action. If we can get the run established, I'm very confident in our short to intermediate routes. I'm very, confident in, having Amon-Ra kind of work that middle of the field and Sam Laporta. Like, that's something that you can kind of always count on. I'm not really scared or worried about our offense stalling as long as the plays are being called correctly. So I'm really confident in our ability to be able to move the ball down the field. But something that I'm not confident in right now is Ben Johnson's situational play calling and our lack of talent. I'll say our defensive line play. It's hard. I would like to say cornerback play, but, you know, with getting all these extra guys on the field and playoffs, I don't know what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm. If I had to just – as far as, thinking from an offensive standpoint, I'm really confident in our rushing attack and our play action and our ability to work the middle of the field, but I'm not really confident right now in our situational play calling and, our third down play calling. That's made me really nervous the past couple weeks. So I'm hoping for a really good schematic sequence during the playoffs here. And I'm really hoping that we can show that we're really meant to be here.
For me, it's simple. I'm confident in the run defense. My dog is trying to make an appearance on the podcast. But I'm confident in the run defense. I think that if you – they held Dallas to 60 yards, which was their lowest rushing total of the whole year, right? So I look at the rushing defense. That's what I'm most confident in. What I'm the most worried about is what I've been talking about since we've been talking about this team, Tyler. It isn't the offense. It is not the defense. It is the kicking game, the field goal kicker. Because you know when you come down to this point in the season, games are so tight. A field goal can win it. An extra point miss can lose it. Those are the things I worry about. Because we've seen it before. Teams miss field goals, lose. You know, teams make field goals, they win.
Head coaches don't take their points.
Well, here's the thing. Does he have faith in the kicker?
Right.
Because that's what I look at. Like, first of all, it's bad to know that you had Riley Patterson the whole year, and then you said, okay, this kid is not doing it. So I look at this kicking game, and I go, this is my biggest worry, because if you need a kick from the 40, can you rely on Michael Badgley? I mean, that's a big question. Because if he can't make those kicks, I mean, you're kind of limited to what you can do. See, now you're playing college football kind of things where when you're in from the 40 to the 50, you're kind of in no man's land. You have to go for it. You know, it'd be nice to have a kicker that you could just kick the ball. But I think that what Dan Campbell thinks, and there's a lot of times I do think this, where he just does not have faith in his kicker. And I think this is something that Brad Holmes has done really bad at, is getting a freaking kicker in here. You know, you don't know how bad it does hurt. You know, we've been so fortunate in Detroit to have great kickers. You know, Jason Hansen, Eddie Murray, guys like that, right? We've been lucky. So we need a kicker. And look, I mean, Ken Fisher brings it up. This is what I'm saying. Where the F did the Cowboys get their kicker? That's what saved them. And you know where they got him? The USFL.
Soccer player.
He's a soccer player for Notre Dame. So if we talk about Brad Holmes, how smart he is, right? Kicking, finding a kicker has not been one of them. He has not found a kicker. So I want Brad Holmes to find a kicker in the offseason. But if I'm talking about my biggest worry going into the postseason, it's a kicker. Because I think that the kicking game is one of the most – special teams is one of the most important things about football. If you're good at special teams, you are going to win a lot of games.
Well, think about if you're the Ravens, you're confident that from Justin Tucker from the opposite 45 damn near. I mean, this dude can kick a 65-yard field goal.
Oh, think about it like this, dude. If you're the Cowboys, if you're the Ravens, if you're the Chiefs, like Butker, you got Brandon Aubrey, who has not missed a kick this year, Justin Tucker. You know, those are guys that you could say, we line up, we expect them to make it. They're great kickers.
We're at the 50. We're confident that you can drill this.
I mean, even the Eagles with Jake Elliott. Like, Jake Elliott has turned into a damn good kicker. Now, Jake Moody has had some spots where he hasn't been good. So,
hey,
I'm pretty sure the 49ers are saying the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, is he going to be a good kicker? Or is he not going to be a good kicker?
It's tough when you're a rookie, man. I mean, Aubrey's a little bit of a outlier. You know, I think that, like, you know, kicking, as a lot of it has to do with confidence and stuff like that. So, you know, I think that I think Moody will end up being fine. He's got a pretty strong leg.
But Ken does bring up a good point. Our punter, Jack Fox, is excellent as hell. I would give him a shot beyond 50. He's kicking in the end zone. You know, because, look, Jack Fox is awesome. And he's gonna flip a lot of fields, and he's going to help you in the playoffs. Now, the kicker – that's the field goal kicker is going to be the one that I worry about the most. And I know that people think that's probably a cop-out. I don't know.
He's talking about putting Jack Fox in that field goal kicks.
Well, you can't – I don't think – well, Jack Fox could tell you that he don't want to do that either. So, so you got to get a field goal kicker. And I'm hoping that Michael Badgley is that guy. Maybe Money Badger turns into, like, the real Money Badger, and we could use him. But – you know, I just feel the way Dan Campbell kind of goes about things that he doesn't have any confidence in his kickers. And that scares the hell out of me, because if you need a kicker in the playoffs, I don't care who you are. The Chiefs have needed a kicker to win the Super Bowls. You know, you need a kicker.
Yeah.
So going on to our final verdict, Tyler, I know you got a, you know, a final thing to say. I got a final thing to say, so you can go first.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it short and sweet this week. Stay confident. You know, stay smooth. You know, do the things you got to do to come out and get a good win and get some momentum. But like I said earlier, stay healthy and be ready for the playoffs. You know, use this as a week that you can just keep the machine oiled. You can keep everything on its tracks, but stay healthy. Get out of this damn thing alive. End the season. I don't care if it's a freaking 17-14 win. Get a win. Get a little bit of momentum, right? Get your revenge. Or, you know, if you can ram your freaking foot down their necks, then we can beat the hell out of these guys, but we can make it out healthy and we don't, you know, exhaust everybody for the playoffs. And then whatever you got to do, you know, get yourself established, get yourself oiled, you know, well oiled, get your run game working, get your pass game working, work out some shit on your defense, but just get out of here riding a win for the playoffs and stay freaking healthy. And let's make some noise in the playoffs and just end the season on a good note. You know, we're in Detroit, right? So, you know, hey, let's show the fans what amazing, memorable season that they've been able to witness and be a part of. Let's help Chap make his prediction correct again for another year in a row.
Oh, my God.
Bro. Let's help him out, man. And so, yeah, let's
you know just, what? Let's, like I said, I let's wish, ride out of this thing. I wish I could bet on it because that year that I predicted a tie is probably the most clutch thing I've ever done in my entire life. Like I didn't predict a tie with the Steelers, but I predicted a tie at some point in the season because I didn't think the team was good. That was like year one of Dan Campbell. But like, holy shit, like a tie. All right. I wish I could have betted on that. I've been fucking great, you know? Yes, I mean, even like betting on like 12-5, I think that would have been pretty good odds too. So I would have took it, yeah.
But yeah, man. Let's have some fun. Let's end the season. You know, take a second as a fan to enjoy it, to let it soak in. I mean, you know, we haven't won 12 games in a really long time. We've never won our division as a part of the NFC North. And the last time we have won our division, neither of us were born yet. So, I mean, hey, let's enjoy it. And you know, let's try to take an opportunity to see it for what it is. You know, we always said that, look, year three, year four, it's kind of going to be where we're going to start our championship or our window and where we can start to contend. I think next year is depending on what happens in the playoffs, next year is a really, really, really important year too, but don't forget to live in the moment and enjoy it this year. You know, we did a lot of really cool things and we, reached heights as a team that we, at some points, man, maybe would never see possible, especially during like the Matt Patricia era and shit. It was really dark.
Ken Fisher's about to be living a life if this happens.
That's right. but yeah, man, like I said, just soak it all in and let's get ready to have some fun and, you know, have some friends and family over to watch the playoffs. And hopefully we get a couple lines with the playoff W's. If we can even get one playoff win, it would mean so much for the city, so much for the fans, so much for the organization, and it would be such a monkey off our back. So let's focus on it one game at a time. Let's, 1-0 type of shit every week. And, you know, let's, like I said, let's go in there and try to get a good game plan going ahead for the playoffs and try to steamroll some of these teams, man.
So my final verdict is going to be this. So I know a lot of Lions fans are still pissed about the whole did he report, did he not report, whatever. We know he reported, so they can go screw themselves. But the fact of the matter is this. You have an opportunity to go out there and go on a revenge tour kind of thing. And I know that didn't work with the Michigan Wolverines when they said the revenge tour because that really ended badly, and I don't want to say the revenge tour. But you have a lot of energy and ammunition that I think Dan Campbell is going to use this as. And if you heard the Aiden Hutchinson with the St. Brown, that podcast, how he was talking about this could turn like the tide of this team, especially with them getting healthy, that's something to look at. So don't look back. If you get the Cowboys in the playoffs, you're going to beat the shit out of them. Let's go. Like, I think what what Dan Campbell said about where he's full octane and he's ready to go. First of all, I think he's still pissed off. But the second part about that is, I think that he's trying to tell his team, like, okay, let's go. Let's go make a play. Let's go win this stuff. You know, let's stop marinating over the fact that we didn't get the call in Dallas. And I think the fan base needs to do that too. I think we've been watching this team for so long and we've been prone to the bad calls. I think we've been prone to these calls that, like, we kind of make excuses for ourselves. But I think Dan Campbell is going to use this, unlike the other coaches that have done it before. I think he's going to use this as a positive. And I think this team is the same way as their coach. Like, I think they're going to look at what Dan Campbell is saying and they're going to be like, you're right. Let's go beat their ass on the field. And I think that it's going to go into this week. I think that they're going to lay a hammer on Minnesota. I think whoever comes in the playoffs, I think they're going to get a – I think the Lions are going to whoop their ass. That's my opinion. And I think that this Detroit team right now, the way it sets up, I do believe that they could be in the NFC Championship this year. And I think that they will be in the NFC Championship this year.
It'd be awesome, man.
I think what they've been able to do – now, first of all, I'm going to say this with all certainty. This Lions team is – number one, they have not been playing up to the level that I thought they would play at, but they're playing – they're still going to make 12-5, which I'm happy about, like Tyler said. But I think that this team knows that they can get better, and with the players come back off injury, I think they realize that. I think they're ready to go, and I think that if you're a competitive person, I know that they're competitive in that locker room. It's time to go. And you have Minnesota coming in, and they're not really playing for anything. I mean, they would need a lot to get done, but you hear some of these Minnesota reporters saying that they have highway eyes. Take them to the woodshed. It's time to do things the right way. You know, I think a lot of Detroit fans, I think a lot of times they go into this pull of, oh, we're the Detroit Lions. Like, no, you are the brand new Lions. You're not the Detroit Lions. You're the brand new freaking Lions. Dan Campbell has built a freaking culture where you're just going to go out there and you're going to tear people's kneecaps off. And you're going to go out there and beat the shreds out of them. And that's what you're going to do in the playoffs. This team is built for that. They have the teams that if they get the Cowboys again, you could bet your ass every player on their roster is fired up to play the Cowboys. And if they play the Rams, you know who's going to be fired up? Jared Goff, because you know who's on that other sideline? Sean McVay, who said, you're not a good quarterback. Get out of here. So everything is setting up for the Detroit Lions to go on like this revenge tour, and I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to go to the NFC Championship.
We'll see, man. I hope so, man. Fingers crossed. I'm ready for an exciting playoffs. A lot of awesome pods coming your way for the playoffs. And, yeah, baby, let's get to it.
All right. We'll see you guys on the next show. We'll be talking playoff football, which we haven't been able to do since this pod started. So we can't wait to talk about playoff football. This kind of was like a throwaway week, we think. And we still went an hour for this podcast. So yep. If you're listening on Apple and Spotify, please rate, review, subscribe. If you are on the Facebook, if you're on the Twitter right now, because I know there's someone on X right now that's watching, go to Spotify, go to Apple, rate, review, and we will love it. And then we will see you in the next podcast as we talk Detroit Lions playoff football for their first home playoff game at Ford Field next Sunday or Saturday or Monday. We don't know, but we'll figure it out as we go. It's the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapp. He's your co-host, Tyler. And we will see you in the next podcast. So we will see you then. And tear a kneecap off. Let's go.
See you guys.